Morning. Our scripture is found in the Gospel according to Matthew in chapter 14, verses 13 through 21. And Sister Buena King will be reading the scripture this morning. Consider our text for this morning. Let us consider the theme for our text. Look up to God. Turn to somebody and tell them to look up to God. Look up to God. Life is not comfortable when we don't have enough. And nobody likes it. And there's nothing else in the world like not having enough. Oh, I know we live in a nation that claims to be the richest nation on the face of the earth, and I know that many of us have never known the kind of not enough that poverty and hunger or need that people in third world countries experience. But not having enough does not remove our fear of not having enough. There's a certain discomfort that we experience at the thought of not having enough. Like not having enough hot water when you're trying to take a shower. Or not having enough money to take care of the basics of food, clothing, and shelter. There's nothing quite like the panic that overcomes us when we're on the road and we don't have enough gas, or hungry and don't have enough food, or enough heat when it's cold, or enough cool when it's hot. We don't like not having enough water when we're thirsty, or enough rest when we're tired, or enough energy when we need to get something done. We just don't like not having enough of anything that we need. And it frustrates us to know that we don't have enough of what we need, almost as much as it frustrates us not having a way to get what we need. And yet, if we hear these words in Matthew's account of the gospel, then perhaps we also know that not having enough doesn't always have to be a problem in every situation. According to our text, Jesus was ready to withdraw from the crowds. He had just learned that his friend John the Baptist and his partner in ministry had been beheaded and buried. The news of it saddened him and compelled him to go to a place where he could perhaps be alone to grieve. Maybe he wanted to be alone to pray, but it doesn't matter. He wanted to be alone. Matthew wrote, "Now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself." And it shouldn't amaze us that sadness has the capacity to overwhelm Jesus. In this one verse, we see his human side. We see his need to grieve. We see his need to not be bothered with people so he can provide himself some self-care. We see in Jesus what we feel in ourselves when someone close to us has been snatched away by what we believe to be a senseless death or death, period. But the crowds heard it too. And perhaps at the sound of John the Baptizer's life crashing to the ground, they found a greater need to be near Jesus. It's the nature of people to draw strength from the one who gives strength without measure. But Jesus's work wasn't done. Probably as much as he wanted to be alone, he wanted to serve his God more. As much as he wanted to go to a deserted place, he couldn't turn his back on those who had followed him just to be with him. Again, Matthew tells us that when he went to shore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. What a blessing for the people not to be near, to not only be near their master, but also to be healed by him. To be the recipient of the healing mercies of God must have made their day. And isn't that the way it usually is? Just when you think the day is over, something happens to disrupt the flow of things. Stuff happens. Stuff that you have to take care of, stuff that can't wait, won't wait until tomorrow, stuff that's so important that you can't leave it alone. It commands your immediate attention. It was both an emergent and necessary situation that needed to be handled, and that's what Jesus did. He handled his business. He saw the problem, he knew what he had to do, and he did it. Problem solved. At least it was almost solved. You see, brothers and sisters, the real problem hadn't surfaced yet, but it was about to. The day was winding down and the evening was on them, and there didn't seem to be anything more that would disrupt the Savior's need to be alone. Jesus had not yet found his deserted place. And so the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." And in their request, they addressed the reality that they had had enough of the crowds and not enough to feed them. They addressed the reality that they had had enough of serving these people and didn't have enough patience or stamina to continue doing it. They addressed the reality that they had had enough of Jesus asking them to do seemingly impossible tasks, and they didn't have enough resources to start with. They didn't have enough resources to secure what was needed. They indicated by their statements and their question that they had had enough of being with these people and hadn't had enough rest or time alone with Jesus. They had grown weary of serving these people. What they weren't searching for was another job to do, another ministry to perform, one more thing to do, but get a hot meal and some peace and quiet. The disciples were saying in their minds, Jesus, if you're going to do another miracle today, then do your biggest miracle of all and make these people disappear. But Jesus had another plan. Jesus had another lesson to teach. Jesus had one more thing for the disciples to do. And so Jesus said to them, they don't need to go away. You'll give them something to eat. Now at this point, the disciples organized and called their first ever union meeting over the issue of a legalized work break. And I can imagine at this point in the evening, they're looking at Jesus as if he must have just suffered a stroke of some kind. And the request must have troubled them and puzzled them. At any rate, they thought they'd let Jesus know the obvious because they said, we have nothing here but 2 loaves and 5 fishes, or 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Doesn't matter, we ain't got enough. Their statement was an admission of their inadequacy. It was an admission that they didn't believe they had enough to do what Jesus was asking them to do. They had already counted their resources and found that they came up short. And isn't that typically the way we respond? When Jesus asks us to do something we've never done before, we question our ability to do what Jesus asks of us. We question whether what we bring to the table is enough for God to work with. We check our resources and we determine that we don't have enough for God to do what God is going to do. There had to be a question in their minds about how Jesus was going to handle this situation with no more than a couple of sardines and some bread. And yet our text indicates the faithfulness of the disciples in doing what he commanded. So when Jesus said, bring them here to me, he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass, and he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowds, and all ate and were filled, and they took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men besides women and children. It must be an amazing thing to have that Jesus kind of faith. And you know what I'm talking about, church. I'm talking about the kind of faith that has you hurt and grieving, expressing the very human side of you at one moment, and in the same moment expresses such a spiritual faith in God that miracles happen. And while miracles happen every day, we'd like to see more of them. Amen. We'd like to see the lame get up and walk, the sick rise up off of their sick beds. We'd like to see a miracle that would make the homeless and the hungry disappear forever, but only because there was adequate housing and substantial food provided. We'd like to see a miracle that would make hate go away and prejudice and injustice and bias go away. We'd like to see love prevail. But our admission that we'd like to see it comes also with an admission that somehow we don't see it happening anytime soon. You see, brothers and sisters, we know everything we don't have to accomplish miracles in our lives. We see ourselves and what we bring to the table, and that's the end of our search. But Jesus has another option. He offers to teach us in what seems to be the impossible circumstances of life a chance to see a miracle of faith. And these are the lessons that will help us to grow in Christ. You see, friends, it's normal to want to be alone when you've been overwhelmed by life's important issues. Job. wanted to be alone. When our lives have been disrupted by tragedy, it's normal to want to go somewhere and be alone. We need time alone to care for ourselves. We need time alone to cry tears that only God can hear. We need time alone to hear God give us the answers that carry us from one crisis of pain in our lives to another. We need time to still ourselves. It's that time for us to gather ourselves in order to better address those things that lie ahead. There's a story of an Air Force Army officer who called in his subordinate and complained of office procedures, and the younger officer suggested that they might find a solution by going fishing. And the officer was kind of troubled by it, but he said, "Oh, okay, I'll go fishing." Wondering how this fishing trip would relate to everyday problems in the office. And as the weekend progressed, the engineer explained that at one time he had routinely worked 15 hours a day. However, when he discovered he had malignant hypertension, he had to cut back on his hours, and he decided that fishing would be the answer for his problem. And he then led the officer to a point on the cove where the waters were mirror steel. And he said, "Look carefully." And as he directed the man to look just beneath the surface of the water, were huge salmon swimming slowly. Other salmon were in the still waters, and they just lay on the bottom. And the only way you could tell they were alive were their fins and the gills were moving. And then he called attention to the salmon that were in the channel. And they were fighting upstream to obey their primal need to deposit their eggs in the gravel where they would then be hatched. And then he turned back to the salmon in the cove, and he remarked that those fish in that cove, those that lay still and were barely moving, were different. It was almost as if some instinct brought them to this quiet place to rest before they leapt into the falls. And seeing the salmon at rest helped them understand that sometimes peace and quietness offers us the strength we need to face life's challenges. And our needs are no different than those of the salmon in the still waters. We need a time to quiet ourselves. We need a time to withdraw from those things in life that pull at us and burden us so that we can still our minds, giving peace to our souls so that we might hear God speaking to us. We need to do that because it's normal to want to get away when life is overwhelming you. And you see, brothers and sisters, that's where our faith is challenged. As people of God, we are frequently asked to put aside things that are burdens in our life to help others with the burdens in theirs. We're frequently asked, and it's scriptural, to think of others as more important than ourselves. And while it is good and solid biblical principle, all too often we ignore it. Frequently we are trapped by our own unwillingness to face the challenges that Jesus places before us. We want to do what the disciples did and wish our problems away. We wish sometimes in our prayers that Jesus would work a miracle and make everything and everyone pulling on us go away. And yet our wanting them to go away has more to do with our unwillingness to deal with them than anything. Not because we don't want to help them as much as we don't feel that we have the right and adequate resources. We don't feel that we have what it takes to lay to rest the hunger of the hungry. We don't feel that we have the resources to handle the challenges that seem so overwhelming to us. When faced with achieving the impossible in the face of the improbable, our natural tendency is to throw up our hands and say, "We don't have the resources." It's so much easier for us to look at ourselves and see what we don't have than to look beyond ourselves and see what God has. It's so much easier to look at ourselves and to ourselves and our limitations to answer the challenges of Christ instead of looking beyond ourselves to Him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask for or imagine. You see, brothers and sisters, what we know is that we are often faced with tasks that seem insurmountable, and we find that we have neither the energy nor the inclination to do anything. We've become like the people in that old rock and roll tune and admit that we're too poor to pop. And we become irritated and anointed at the constant pull on our time. We're worn out to the point of burnout by people pulling and tugging on us in ways that always demand more and more and more of our resources. And in more dramatic and more critical ways, we become weary of doing good. We no longer look at our responsibility to help others as a joy, but we've been burned out by the seemingly monumental task of helping people who could and maybe should be helping themselves. We've grown weary from always having the poor with us, whether they're poor in spirit or poor in resources financially or poor in relationships. We find that we have at this time in our lives neither the energy nor the inclination to do anything other than to seek a place where we can go and not be bothered by the world. We, like the disciples, want to find a place where the world can't find us. We want to seek a place where we can be alone with our God and we don't have to be worried about those other folk trying to take away our time of rest and recreation. And don't get me wrong, I know that there are times when we get weary. I know that there are times when our spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. We look for a place to rest, but everywhere we turn, there are people in need. We turn to the right and there are the hungry. We turn to the left and there are the naked. We try to turn away from them only to encounter the sick. We try to go through them, around them, and by them, and there they are, the homeless, the weak, the abused, the misused, too many of them to ignore. They're there when we wake up, they're there when we go to bed, and they're there when we search for a place of quiet and peace for ourselves. And what we search for, what we want, what we crave is rest, because we've run out of stamina, and we've run out of steam, and we've run out of passion, and we've run out of patience, and we've run out of room, and we've run out of resources, we've run out of will, and we've run out of willpower, we've run out of desire, and we've run out of compassion, and we've run out of composure. But Christ is energized by His compassion for others, and we're not. When we see a time for winding down, Jesus sees the needs of others and gets wound up. When we're worn weary from doing good, Jesus is just starting to feel His Cheerios. And whether it's His Spirit or the Spirit of God upon Him, calling Him as God's anointed to bring good news to the poor, proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, we don't know. But Christ challenges us to look beyond ourselves. Jesus challenges us to look beyond our own limitations and what we have and look up to a God who is full of resources. Jesus dares us to look up and pray to a God who knows no limitations, to look up and pray toward a God who can renew our strength, supply our shortfall. Jesus is asking us to check our resources as meager as they are and to hand them over to a God who is able to take what is not enough and turn it into more than enough. You see, brothers and sisters, God is not limited by how little we bring into a situation. God is not disturbed by our doubt or dissuaded by our deficiency. The same God who provided what we have is the same God that provides for all. There is no shortage in God's storehouse because God is the God of creation and creates whatever is needed to address the situation at hand. Our God is the same God who took water and turned it into wine because there was not enough good wine left at the wedding party. Our God took not enough courage in the Israelite warriors, and with David made more than enough courage to defeat Samson. You see, church, in the grand scheme of dealing with our insufficiencies, Jesus has laid out two truths that we cannot overlook. First, no problem that arises ever solves itself. We can't wish it away, send it away, or hope it will go away miraculously. If we do wish and hope and try to send it away, the chances are the problem will remain. Instead, we're encouraged to look at each problem in life as an opportunity for the power of God to be made visible in our lives. It is through our inabilities that David is able, that God is able. Secondly, as Christ's brothers and sisters, we are challenged to take action no matter how remote the possibilities of success seem. It's when our resources are limited that God's resources become possible. It's when we realize that on our own, we can't recognize what God is able to do. We can't recognize all of the things that are possible to our God. In the face of overwhelming odds and possibilities, we, like David, are supposed to, with David, take action and proclaim, "I lift up mine eyes to the hills. From where will my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. I will lift up my eyes to the hills." That's what Jesus did with the two fish and five loaves of bread. He looked up and not down. He prayed knowing where his help was coming from. He looked beyond himself to find an answer to the challenges that were before him. And as children of God, we should do the same. We should look beyond ourselves for a miracle. When we run out of what we have, that's when God does what God does best. When we're too tired to go on or too weak to work on, when we're too poor to press on, that's when the Spirit of God enables us and gives us strength. That's when the Holy Spirit comes to revive us again. That's when the scriptures of Isaiah become real in our lives, and we come to realize that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount upon wings like an eagle. They shall run and not get weary. They shall walk and not faint. It's when we've hit the wall of our physical limitations that God comes through for us in a spiritual way. When we run out of human resources, God supplies the spiritual resources. When we run out of physical strength, God supplies the spiritual strength. When we run out of passion, God supplies the compassion. When we run out of natural energy, God supplies the supernatural energy. And suddenly our not enough is transformed into more than enough in God's supply than we could ever hope for or imagine. Our not enough becomes God's inexhaustible supply of riches. When we're doing the work of God, our not enough transforms into God's too much. So when you think you run out, run to the Lord. When you think you're going to pass out, pass over to Jesus. When you think you don't have enough to make it over to Jesus and look beyond yourself. Look up to God for a miracle. God is able to make a stand when we're stumbling, to lift us up when we're laying down, to build us up when we're broken down, and sit us up when we're sliding down. God is able to take our not enough and turn it into God's too much. God can take a little love and redeem a people, a little faith and move a mountain, a little compassion and feed a nation, a little mercy and save a whole world. God is just too much for our not enough. So praise God for supplying everything that we lack and giving us everything that we need. And the next time you find yourself running short, don't look down. Look up to God, and He will look down on you. And that's the word of God for the people of God this day.